got good news, we've got bad news. With a victory in the Supreme Court and protests in the US and around the world finding both reform and resistance. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us each week wherever you find good podcasts, as well as on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. More good news this week, Ed. A win for LGBTQ rights in the Supreme Court with a ruling that bars workplace discrimination and protects gay and transgender employees. It's been called the biggest win for queer and otherwise conforming individuals since the marriage equality ruling in 2015. Although one does wonder why it even needed debating in the first place. What's your thoughts, Ed? You wanted us to talk some more good news.
Yeah, I think, clearly the decision is a useful one. And I'm not surprised it went this way. But what I am surprised at is the general drift away from Trump. His two appointees, Gershis being the first, is showing remarkable independence. Now, as my granddad would say, even a fly knows when to get off a dead horse. So the Trump horse may not be traveling well. And the next thing that's going to come up are his tax returns. And it doesn't look good there. I don't believe this decision would make much difference because any large employer, even a small employer, would be in a very difficult position to deny a person or push them off the job because of their orientation. That's an old battle, not hard to fight and fairly easy to win. So I think there's a drift in the Supreme Court away from Trump. Let's see how far away it goes.
Black Lives Matter protests. We've seen more this week that I think underlines how much this is a global movement, as you've been talking about. But first of all, some bad news. Counter-protests. We've seen groups of armed counter-protesters attempting to confront protests, sometimes in very large numbers. Cars driven into crowds in a disturbing recreation of the Charlottesville attack. Clearly there are groups, whether they want to call themselves white supremacists or not, I think they've got a pretty big white supremacist head on them, that see these protests as a threat to their way of life. Thoughts, Ed?
Well, you just said it. It is a threat to their way of life. Their ability to put other people down because of their sexual orientation, because of their skin color, or whatever, is coming to an end. And again, to quote my grandfather, a snake is most dangerous when it's being killed. So as this snake of racism is being killed, it's not finding very many supporters that are growing into it. That is, if you look at these crowds of people with guns and so forth, there are a few young people, but most of them are the old rednecks. The young people are on the side of racial justice, and they are white, green, and purple. So I think this snake is dying. It's going to die a very unceremonious death.
Well, good on Grandpappy's homespun wisdom, I think, this week. Keeping up on the good news of this movement, though, Donald Trump, his hand forced by protests, has signed an executive order on police reform, although critics say this one doesn't go far enough and pressure doesn't seem to be easing, which I think is certainly a good thing for further reform. What do you make of this one?
I think this is a sop. Trump knows he cannot go into this election without any suburban vote or any black vote. So he's throwing this out there in the hope that he can preserve some of that vote. Trump is in a very dangerous corner now because the props of his candidacy are gone. The economy, which was the very big one, and his ability to cower his enemies overseas. The North Koreans, the Chinese, and others are giving him short shrift, and even the Russians don't like him too much. So Trump has very little to campaign for, and his attempt to throw this little piece of meat to a very angry crowd is just going to make it more angry.
And just briefly, the statues coming down. This has become a worldwide thing, tearing down statues of colonizers or those that perhaps owned slaves back in the day, Civil War generals and the like, as well as renaming
dictators.
Things. Dictators. Look, we're renaming things as well, also that perhaps were named in their honor. I don't know. I'm of two minds on this one. Fair enough, we don't keep around statues of Adolf Hitler and Mussolini and the like. But I don't know if this is confronting the past or erasing it. Any feelings on this one?
Well, I guess I have two feelings about it. One, it should have happened a long time ago in a slightly different way. And that is, had I been in the South and a white mayor or governor, I would have said a lot of people of color contributed to our destiny. Let's have the Martin Luther King, the George Washington Carver, and so on monuments on the same street, the same avenue, maybe even the same courthouse. If you want to protect the past, you've got to protect the future. So it was dumb to keep them up. And now there isn't a lot of momentum to maintain them. They don't have supporters anymore. Most of their supporters are dead and gone. So these statues are coming down. Now, they haven't touched mine yet, but I'm sure that'll happen.
wouldn't go there, Ed, not at all. In spite of threats from the Trump White House that doing so would violate national security, former National Security Advisor John Bolton is pushing ahead with the release of his book, The Room Where It Happened, a White House memoir. Have you got your copy on pre-order, Ed?
Oh, well, I was sent a pre-order copy, of course. John wanted to make sure he's on side with me with this book. We know what's in the book, pretty much. And we know where he's going to come down. The issue here is the publication of the book. Now, the White House has asked to bar its publication. That is a very strong, difficult thing to do for the courts, because you could say there are portions of the book that shouldn't be published. But to bar the entire book, I don't know that's ever been done. Even in some of the most dramatic, awful books on slavery and mimicking slavery and so forth, the courts have been very reluctant to trample on free speech. So this is going to be a bestseller for sure.
Maybe
I'm going to be in the movie, of course.
Maybe a few Trump supporters can kind of get together and have great big ceremonies of just putting them all into a pile and burning them. I think that would kind of play a little bit to their kind of repertoire.
Well, if they've ever read a book, this would be a sure sign that they don't know how.
There may be more from this book next week, but I did want to just touch on one of the excerpts that's been published in the New York Times. Trump, in a conversation with Chinese President Xi Jinping, quoting from the book here, turned the conversation to the coming U.S. presidential election, alluding to China's economic capability and pleading with Xi to ensure he'd win. Do we have time for another impeachment trial before November, Ed?
Who are we going to impeach? I think that the events that have occurred have impeached Trump. He's no longer in control. Notice how he's putting Pence out and everybody else out to send his messages there. He's behind a fence. He's impeached. The question is when he leaves.
Turning to COVID and an interesting quote from UN official Lisi Kingu this week, that COVID-19 is a fire drill for the kind of problems we'll be seeing in the coming climate crisis, and how Black Lives Matter protests are also underlying the need to address social inequality as part of climate solutions. Thoughts on this one, Ed?
This is a difficult one in the sense that this takes me back to the revolutionary eras, most of them between 1776 and 1789, and of course, those later in Europe, in Germany, in Italy, and the unification movements. There is a movement now I don't know how to name it or call it, and I'm sure the people didn't know how to name or call what was going on in those previous times, where the public does not like what is going on, and they don't like the instruments where it's going on. In the previous revolutions, they seized the government, but these revolutionaries don't seem to be interested in seizing the government. This is one for a longer conversation, perhaps a special on what comes next.
I think we've definitely got to put that together once we are back in the studio together, Ed. The FDA this week has also pulled its emergency authorization on hydroxychloroquine due to the lack of proof it does anything to fight COVID, with a former official calling the initial authorization a train wreck that underscored the administration's willingness to put political expediency ahead of scientific expertise. No great surprises there, I imagine, Ed.
None. But have you stopped taking it? that horse was out of the bag a long time ago. Hydroxychloroquine did more damage than good. And when the president said people should take it, he put himself on another derailing train. So you can be sure the new ads that are coming out by the Democrats and Democratic supporters are going to use that to the hilt.
And we talked last week about how the Paycheck Protection Program seems to be keeping the economy on track best as it can. Good news, but more and more concerns being raised about the total lack of transparency in terms of where the money is going. Look, at this stage, transparency is about the last thing I expect to ever see from the Trump administration. Is there anything to come out of this, do you think?
I don't know that anybody knows where the money's going in the United States, Australia, or anywhere else. What is happening, though, there are some small businesses who got some of this money. And remember, the states play in this game as well. So many states were providing very similar loans to get small businesses back on their feet. But the issue here is unemployment. Employment doesn't come from small businesses. It comes from big businesses that operate in chains. And those chains have not only not seen any uptick in their business, unless they're grocery chains, they are going down. And I think hundreds, maybe thousands of malls are going to close. And that's where the jobs are going to go. So the small business, hallelujah. But that's not going to save anybody's economy.
And looking abroad, North Korea tensions continue to escalate with the North blowing up an office building used for liaisons between the North and South, which sits just north of the DMZ. The dream of inter-Korean cooperation has literally been blown up, said Australia's leading North Korean expert, Dr. Leonard Petrov. And some have said this could be a move to raise the profile of Kim Yo-jong, while her older brother, as you pointed out last week, Kim Jong-un, we don't even really know if he is still alive. Thoughts on this one?
I think this is that internal fight I was talking about. Someone's trying to show that they're more anti-South Korea than anyone else. It's kind of like the Black Lives Matter. I'm blacker than you are. So there's a group in there, and I don't know what general's ahead of it, or whether it's his sister, are planting these seeds to show that they can maintain the stance that Kim Jong-un had. The reason we haven't seen him, I don't think he's in a seeable condition. So what's playing out here is an internal drama. It has nothing to do with blowing up that building.
And Brexit, my goodness, seems like years since we've heard that name. Brexit is still a thing that is happening despite all the other problems in the world. Boris Johnson met with EU leaders via video conference this week, and they've agreed not to extend the transition period beyond December. But really, there's definitely a feeling there's no great love or room for negotiations in that relationship still. Thoughts?
This is a British problem now. It was a European problem, but this is a British problem now. COVID has brought the mainland, the British enemies or the people on the other side of the pond together. And they are now trying to fashion an economy that is Britainless. And they're beginning to see some life come into it. So they don't need the distraction of the UK. This is very difficult for Northern Ireland and Ireland, which depend on the link to Great Britain. So I think there's going to be more damage to the UK as Northern Ireland and Ireland and Scotland trying to find ways to join the Europeans. The UK doesn't have much to offer the world. Land Rover, all their name brands are owned by the Chinese or someone else. How are they going to compete? With what? And I dare say, if I were a tourist, COVID UK is not a place I would visit.
And I think once upon a time, the sun never set on the British Empire. Look, Ed, I think we've done pretty well in terms of good news. We'll be checking in again next week. Hopefully more good news then.
I hope there's some good news around the vice presidential candidates. Biden has turned a corner here. The only person left on the list that we talked about, I believe, is Harris. And Elizabeth Warren is someone who's come onto this list. I'm not sure what's going on here, but some very good African-American women have disappeared. And I'm sure Kamala Harris will not be his choice. So what is really going on?
Ed and I will be back next week. Fingers crossed for more good news coming out of the United States. Hey, why not hit that subscribe button on the podcast? Drop us a review if you're feeling particularly generous. And you can also show us some love if you're so inclined on Facebook and Twitter, US of Ed.